Father, we are so glad and joyful to be able to be here and for thy word, and pray that as we would open and read, that thou wouldst inspire us and uplift us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like if you would turn with me to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 5. This morning, Brother Dave read or mentioned a quote about having the keys to the king's treasure, treasure chamber. And, you know, who would you blame if you went into that treasure chamber and you walked out with a penny, right? Whose fault is it if you were given access to that and told to take what you need? And I remember when I was growing up, my great aunt, every time we'd go to visit, she had this chest. I don't know if it's a chest, no drawers, but just a chest that you would open. And she never opened it. Actually, she had a lamp out. No, it was just a carved chest, and they got it back in the 50s. And you never knew what was inside. It was locked. And toward the end of her life, she had said that, you know, I'd grown up with this from the age of 5 on, right? Now, maybe, you know, I forget how old I was when she died, probably in my 40s. She said, you know, that chest is going to be yours when I die. It's like, oh, you know, what's in that chest? She didn't know. She hadn't opened it in so many years. Matter of fact, she had lost the key. And I was curious. So I kind of looked at the lock, and I took out my little pocket knife, and I kind of poked at it, and it popped open. You know, it was really no effort to do that. It was just a desire. You know, I had permission, and it was the desire to go look, right? And I think that's goes in parallel with what Brother Dave was quoting, that if we have that interest, if we have that desire, you know, the effort that it takes to unlock the lock's ready to open. All you have to do is start. So that was one thought. And then, as Brother Dave also mentioned about the person who said, you know, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. That's what he thought. I, you know, not based on any facts or anything that was solid, but no, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. There's another account of somebody that had a repairman. They were fixing their washer or dryer, and they asked him, "What do you think? If you were to die today, would you be 100% sure that you're going to heaven?" And he thought, and he said, "You know, I try really hard. I try really hard." And then he kind of quoted, "You know, I'm with the kids as much as I can be. I'm good to my wife. Yeah, I'm trying. I hope I get to heaven," right? If we can turn to this John chapter 5, I'm going to read just a few verses, maybe just one verse to start. This is Jesus has just healed the man that was laid at the pool, and he's been infirm for 38 years. And this is at the beginning of the chapter. And here he's at the pool, and this is the pool that the angel would trouble the water. And every time this man sees the water troubled, by the time he gets down to be healed, somebody else has gone in. And Jesus says to him, he comes there, there's a bunch of people there, you know, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he says, well, you know, he doesn't have hope, really. Every time I go down, somebody beats me to it. Every time. So here you have a man who has hope, but yet he has no hope that he really will be the one. Christ, without saying, yeah, go down into the water now, he doesn't say that. He just says, you're healed. Stand up, right? He just says, stand up. Take up thy mat. So he does. He stands up, takes up his mat. Christ kind of disappears. The leaders say, well, why are you carrying your mat? This is the Sabbath. You shouldn't be carrying that mat. Well, the one who healed me said I should take my mat. Who is he? Well, I don't know who he is. And so later on, here he is. He's there, and Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." So there's an implication here that some sin that he had committed had gotten him in that situation. And Jesus made it plain, you need to not just be healed. Now you need to kind of show some honor to God. And as soon as the man found out that it was Jesus, he went and reported him. It's like, that's the man. Jesus was the one that healed me. Jesus was the one that caused, that told me to work on the Sabbath, to walk on the Sabbath, right? Now the Jews knew, now that they knew, they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And so they approached Jesus. And then he gives just a whole, everything probably from verse 19 on to the end of the chapter is Jesus' words. But I just wanted to focus on verse 24 right now. Verily, verily, so Christ is really trying to make it plain. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Stop there a minute. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. So he that heareth the words of Christ, the words that I'm talking to you right now, and him that sent me, God, he hath everlasting life. And this also goes in, I think it was Brother Dave Gerhart last week, that had made the allusion to, if maybe it was the week before, made the allusion that if you're a good person, right? Everything is good, you're living a good life, but maybe one night you have a little too much to drink and you go out and you hit somebody in a car, right? You run into a van and kill everybody in the van. You kill the family. Now you're before the judge. Are all those good things that you did really going to help you out? Not really. You're going to have to serve time, right? You got time to be served. And Christ here is basically saying, I've served your time. There's nothing you need to do but hear me, believe on him that sent me. That's all you need to do. And some people would say, well, that's a good work. You're earning your salvation. No, that's just common sense, right? I'm hearing the word of God. I'm hearing the truth. Do you believe it? Now, of course, if you hear it and you believe it, if you accept the fact that Christ came to this earth to die for your sins, now there's a love that grows, right? And now out of that love that grows, works come. But the truth of the matter is, it has nothing to do with works. Your salvation has zero to do. So if you're still striving to be that great person, to get your works up to a level where you're 51% good and only 49% bad, now I'm in. We got to stop thinking that way. We got to stop thinking that way. Because if you really think about it that way, if it were really true, how unfair would that be, right? If you were on the other side. I was so close, but I was only 49% good. And so I didn't make it into heaven, right? Many religions profess that. Many are operating under the assumption that your good deeds have to outnumber your bad deeds. And once again, don't get me wrong. Because we're Christ, we need to have lots of good deeds. We're going to read about that. But the truth of the matter is, that has zero to do with your salvation. It was referenced, Brother Dave referenced it this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll just go there. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk on them. So that's another, whatever good that we do, God hath before ordained those things. That's another thing not to take credit, right? God is in he's in the business of restoring or restoration. And when I think of that, how many of you, I think it's almost, you've seen these old cars that have been found, maybe out in the barn, right? Maybe out in the woods. There's a tree growing up through the middle of it, right? It's rusty. The tires are flat. It has been running 60, 70 years, 50 years, whatever it's been. And it's a wreck. But when people find it, you know, they bring it in and they say, look what I found. And everybody's like, wow. But really, they're not like, wow. They're waiting for the transformation. You know, they don't bring it to the museum, the old wreck with the tree growing out the hood and with the doors all rusty. No, what they bring into the museum is once that old wreck has been found, they bring it in. And they remove all the rust. They change all the tires. They go through every piece of that car and they make it new. They restore it to factory or better than factory. And this is what God does for us. And how would it be if we said, no. You know, we're their old wreck, right? No, I want that tree to be growing out through the window. Don't touch that limb. No, I don't want new tires. These tires are fine. I'm not going anywhere anyway. You can see how that would, that denial, how that that slap in the face, if you would, of God. Nobody in their right mind truly would be saying that. Although I think we do have that in us. We have that, I'm good enough. You know, I was told that I can come to Jesus just as I am, and indeed we come just as we are. But he's got some work to do. And we need to let him work. So in James 2:23, we read about Abraham and the faith that he had. And it says that by the faith that he had, he offered up his son Isaac. And by the offering of his son Isaac, it was imputed unto his account. He imputed means God decided to put it towards him, right? It wasn't that he earned anything. It was imputed unto him. You know, just as Christ spoke the world into existence, he's going to speak the end. And really, it's going to speak. There's no, you know, we think there's this great battle coming. And we've talked about this before in Revelation. Dushka's going to get there eventually at the end, right? Everybody's gathered together. Everybody's surrounding Jerusalem. And there's just the word, and it's over. Just like there was the word, and it became. You don't go to heaven if you're good. You go to heaven if you believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's read back in John 5. So I'll read that again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then I'll read four more verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So once again, eternal life, Brother Jack Jargo used to say it, right? Eternal life, smoking or non-smoking, right? Eternal life, smoking or non-smoking. We all have eternal life, whether you believe or not. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. You can say, I don't believe in gravity, but that just doesn't make gravity any less viable. I'm going to turn back to Matthew for a brief moment. I'm going to turn to Matthew. And in Matthew 25, this is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And before him shall all the, Matthew 5:32, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, fed thee, thirsty, gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick, and, or in prison, and came unto thee? They weren't even thinking, I have to do good works. When I do good works, it's going to get me into heaven. That wasn't in their mind. And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then, of course, the opposite is true for the ones that don't. He said unto them, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared, not for you, really, it's prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye didn't take me in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they say to him, When? These good things were not even in their mind to do. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. You know, Christ, in our Bible class at Orange County, in our midweek, on our Wednesday, we were talking about what was success. You know, what would you deem a successful person, right? And we talked about, well, if you know, people think you're successful if you have money or a nice house or a nice car, all these different things. But really, Christ was the only one that was the true success in achieving God's ultimate goal of living a perfect life. He lived the life that we're supposed to live. And yet he suffered greatly for it. He had victory over death and sin. In Romans 12, 1, it was mentioned, it's but a reasonable service. Anything that we do is just but our reasonable service. Don't get high and lofty. Wow, I did such a great thing. No, that's just the minimum. Well, you know, it was in Bible class. It was like, you know, exceeds expectations. No, the best you're going to get is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Salvation is a gift. We are going to be judged according to our works. Evil is going to be judged also according to those works. But at the end of the day, the salvation that we have is a gift. And we need to accept it and live joyfully through it. May God bless his word.